I think that'd be nice to read it into the record.
Okay. My husband and I own an Ashlander condo on East Main Street where my mother used to live, but we now live in California. Not until today, March 2nd, did I receive your mailed notice of application for the proposed church property conversion on the corner of East Main and Fifth Street. Your notice required any emailed comment to be submitted by 10 a.m. on March 1st, obviously an impossibility for me in this case. I would hope that my only concern could still be considered, and that is the question of parking. If the property is to be used for office assembly space that would involve daily use and parking, surely there should be a requirement that the applicant provide parking for the proposed use. The prior church use entailed need for parking only on Sundays, and this proposed use is another matter. Thank you for your consideration. Diane Levison, 1268 Drake Circle, St. Louis Obispo, California, 93405. And that was sent yesterday, March 2nd.
Okay, thank you.
So the question that I have about that is, we're also looking at the adjacent property on the plan here. I assume Gil owns that as well, the 48 Fifth Street property. And it has, it looks like it has four parking places. Are they able to share those spaces?
Yeah, that was a question we... doesn't seem to be addressed by the application because when they originally did the pre-app, they had both properties shown because that was originally both owned by the church. Mm-hmm. They seem to be separating them at this point. The back building was, I think they called it a fellowship hall when it was approved in, I think it was,
yeah,
I'd have to look the early 90s. So it was like one campus. You know, it was,
but it's two tax lots.
Yes.
And was that a recent partition, or has that been that way for us some time?
I think that's we don't have a file that I know of on a partition. I think the hall, the back building was built. It was approved in '93, the planning approval. And it was shown as two tax lots then.
Oh, it was. Okay.
So it's not, it's not recent.
Okay. And because the church owned them both, Gil purchased them both. And he had talked about even the spaces between the two buildings being kind of amplified and upgraded to create some little bit of outdoor space and that sort of thing. There's a roof that's a covered entry that extends into that space between the two buildings. And he was going to cut some of that eave off. Like a gabled roof that was extended from that porch. I think it wasn't original, and that sounded like opening up that space would be helpful too. But so he's basically, because it's always been under one ownership, those four spaces are used for both buildings, I guess.
I think they were. I don't think this application clearly addresses that. I mean, they've submitted this application just for the front property as a standalone lot. So,
no parking.
Yes.
Okay. And what's the use of that building? Just the existing, the second building.
You know, I think the only thing the application does say about it, or maybe I just know that from the pre-app, I'm having trouble sorting the two out, but I think my understanding is it's used for offices now.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what it shows on the plan.
Well, I think the concern of the letter was that it was based on an assumption that only Sunday was the day, one day a week was the use of the building, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really used a lot more if they had daycare. So it's already, their case is that it's already been a pretty high use property during the week as well. Is that the way other people read the proposal? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's a complicated issue in that, the occupancy is, they're, they're proposing some changes from the original occupancy. And I think that we might want to focus just more on the historic exterior nature of it and let planning and development work with the occupancy issue.
Right.
We're not going to solve it, and it's really not our, because it's, there is no parking, and we can't increase it or ask.
Right.
It's kind of a moot issue for us. I think between the owner and the planners,
yeah,
we should leave it there.
So are it's really a good point, Dale.
Okay.
So we respond by saying that's really not in our,
that's not in our purview.
Yeah. Purview. Okay.
So then what we wanted, any comments that we might have about some of the exterior, I think we've exhausted what the entry might look like. But I think we could also, I have some issues about some of the, and some questions about some of the materials and material choices and that sort of thing.
I do too. What you pointed out initially, Dale, about, identifying what the tower was on it, and just in looking at the existing building with the predominance of the horizontal siding,
right,
which is frankly pretty ugly,
right,
because of the volume. So right. Looking down the east side of the building, from East Main, where you've got a proposed stucco finish, I think breaking that east side up so that's not one huge plane of siding again,
right.
so that the front wraps around to some degree.
Yeah.
Probably, whatever the depth of the entrance area is, right, to wrap it around that much to give more significance,
yep,
to that portion of the building, I think would be beneficial to the look, because as you're coming down East Main Street, it's pretty visible.
Yeah, it is,
and it's pretty stark with that huge plane that all looks the same.
Right. So that changing materials has been a big, a more contemporary thing in the last 5 or 10 years. You see multiple materials on exterior, and what the pattern seems to be is that they break them into different volumes.
Yeah,
look like almost separate buildings in a way, and I think that's fine. But I think there's an awkwardness of trying to have a corner, one facade, just as you described, Keith, one facade stucco and another facade siding. And so if they wanted to amplify that tower and wrapped it around maybe the same distance as it wraps around the front, and then differentiate it at least from the back part of the east elevation. So it might go back, I don't even know, because the plans aren't really accurate in terms of the depth. But if it equaled the front part of the tower as you come down from the west side, wrapped around, the awkwardness then might be where the existing windows are.
And yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that it probably should be midway between the two existing windows there.
Right.
Go ahead.
It's just that it's hard to see in the elevation, in the architectural elevation and the plans, where those windows are. So it's not real clear where that break would be, but to extend it back further than lesser.
So, if you did it further, or it made the same, match the elevation on the west side,
right,
to the east. And then another thing that could be done, so the windows then may need to be relocated, that those two windows would want to be, maybe symmetrical to the tower rather than the rest of the horizontal board siding.
Right.
And another way you could differentiate it is just maybe add another foot or two to height, just so it's set again, the material difference.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that as well.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why change up the materials along the east side?
Because the tower, as you look at, if you go back to the elevations, the first four elevations that Maria brought up, does everybody have that in their packet?
Right here.
Yeah, there you go. So when you look at those two, the elevation on the upper right-hand corner, they're differentiated in color right now, correct? We've got a stucco building with a barrel roof and that tower, which is higher than the facade on the left. What's stucco there, it definitely looks like a tower from this elevation. Then we move to the lower and we see it from the front straight on, upper left, it's straight on, looks like a tower. And then you wrap around to the left, I mean, to the east side, the lower left picture, now it looks like just one big volume of a building. So
is the front facade that's along East Main with the cross on it, is that stucco in these pictures?
I think it's in this picture, vertical wood siding.
Right here is vertical wood siding, you think?
I'm guessing it just looks vertical and it doesn't look like horizontal, but the reason I think it looks okay that way is that it looks like they're probably the same color. Or close to it.
Yeah, I don't see any shadow lines in it though, do you?
For the horizontal siding?
Yeah.
No, that's why I think it's vertical siding.
Oh, I see that. I see that, yeah.
To put 1x4, 6 vertical.
Okay.
So that may have been what it's done, but it looks like a tower in those two right-hand pictures because it sticks up above the existing, the wall, the faces south. And so anyways, I think the suggestions that have been made by moving the material, if it is stucco, around to kind of equal the same Western dimension would work. And it may take relocating the windows to make it look symmetrical and with intention rather than kind of random.
And it doesn't bother you to have two materials running into each other at the same plane?
Well, you know, if you had more property, I don't think there's any room on that side to, you know, ideally you'd stick it out a foot or two or three, and then it would really look like a tower. And then the material break would be in the back, but.
Dale is suggesting is the lesser of two evils. It's better to have the break and have the tower appear as a separate tower when it's viewed from the east.
Right. And now I'm just noticing what I suggested about bringing it out a foot or two or three. Now I'm looking at the floor plan, and if it's accurate with the site plan, it shows the property line about a foot, I would say, because it's maybe about a foot and a half because it's wider than a stair run. So you actually could pull that part of the building out a foot and a half to get to the property line, and then we'd have a really amplified tower from all three directions.
I don't think it's so necessary because when you're approaching it from East Main, it seems pretty secondary as you're coming past. You know, I think you don't really need to step it out.
But to have the break of material, I mean, they do have that room to do it. And I mean, that would be kind of the most honest part of it by having a break in material plane.
I don't think I agree with the break in material though. I'll just say that.
In what way?
Well, I think that it's dishonest to do so only to make the tower feel more like a faux tower. You know, I don't think that it's historically compatible to do that. It's always been one monolithic wall on the east side. For us to accentuate the tower is adding a design element that wasn't necessarily part of the original intent.
The siding that's there isn't original either, and you know
it was all stucco before.
But
what do you? The three of us have discussed the idea of that the material on the front facade being stucco, wrapping around the corner to about the same distance as it is on the west side. You agree with that, but the material break could be there without a change in plane.
Correct. Well, yes, I think that running that stucco all the way down the east side doesn't bother me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think everybody is in agreement that tower material that's facing south would wrap around about the same distance as it does on the west side. and the plane could either change there if they chose to do that or leave it in one plane, which is maybe more historical. But since we're adding a contemporary look to this whole building, a little change in plane, in my architectural opinion, would be a little nicer. But it's fine either way. We'd be in agreement that either one of those is fine?
That would be okay with me. I think because the building is not a contributing building and it's genuinely ugly the way it is, I think the changes that Gil is proposing here, I think those changes are certainly make the building look better. And I think here in Ashland, we tend to take the historic elements quite literally, whereas the national standards would want us, if it were a new building or a new addition, the national standards would want us to show contrast, would want us to have similar massing and form, but to show a distinct contrast. And I think that's what Gil is doing here. And I think that's the best thing that could happen to this building.
Right. And even from a historic point, as I think what you're saying too, is that there's always, you'd like to see a certain number of planes, changes of planes, to amplify depth in terms of having just a monolithic wall. So if they added 4 inches or 6 inches or a foot or not, the important thing, I think what we're saying is that it should wrap around and then change materials, correct?
Yes. Okay. And this is kind of a pet peeve for me, and it's somewhat related, but not related, is that when we get a plan, this was a D-size plan, a 24 by 36 plan, right. And if it's reduced to, and the all of the drawings on this plan are eighth inch scale,
right.
They would have been better to have several sheets and have quarter inch scale,
right.
Because when you reduce it to 11 by 17, it becomes a 16th of an inch to the foot. When you reduce it to 8.5 by 11, it becomes a 32nd inch to the foot, which makes it virtually unreadable. But I think Maria really saved the day by sending us the PDF of the plan. Like, I can blow that up on my 50 inch screen and view it virtually full size. And that was really the only way I could effectively read these plans.
Right. And, and again, they could have, they could have used 11 by 7 sheets and put each floor on one sheet instead of putting 6 different, nine different. It's just,
I think one of the things in the planning application is planning prefers to have it all on one sheet. I think that's part of the requirement, isn't it, Maria?
No, that's not. We often get a separate site plan, a page for each elevation. That's not a requirement. So
it has to be readable in our packet, but they also, it could have been 9 more pages there and we really had a good picture of what's going on.
Yeah. Well, the renderings only bear a passing resemblance to the plan itself. So it's, it's compounded in that way as well.
So can I interject?
Yeah.
This is my fault and I apologize, but I just want to let you know, I set this meeting up for 2 hours. I had forgotten how wonderful level of detail the historic commission has been when you review applications.
Well said.
So, especially if you're planning on calling the applicants back in, which I don't think you have to do, but you can.
Okay.
You just might keep that in mind, because then there's also a few more things that are on the agenda to talk about. So, I'm sorry about that. I'll try to do better time estimation next time.
So
the meeting has been short, you know, since we've been on Zoom, and this one seems to be more, much more detailed.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's the first planning action you've seen in a long time.
So, yeah. It felt a little bit like a review board, actually. But do you think, Dale, that they need to go back and revise the plans so they're accurate? Is that your thinking?
My thinking is that we could not approve this plan.
What I figured.
We need accuracy. And again, you know, there's a lot of detail in those, the section that they had, and we were able to blow that up and see it. And after talking to Gil on site and looking at the details, I went over all the sections and stuff. And so I have a number of concerns, as I usually do, for details. And so maybe I'll just talk about them real quickly, because I think we do need to move on. But then it should be in the record, and if we maybe just give me let me just say them and you tell me where you're at with them. But I think that they need to hear them, because they're going to do some major plan changes, and they might as well get a little more detail of what we might be looking for. So regarding the entry roof, regarding the window sections, regarding basically everything for existing windows and proposed windows, storefront windows, doors, in the design standards requires an inch and a half scale for those details. So we can see the exact materials that are going on there and the exact proportions. Gil and I, when we were on site, he was talking about using thin brick, which is real brick, but it's thinned down. But when you bring real brick into the existing details of all the existing windows, it's challenging. We've seen over the years, we've seen a number of cases where people have tried to use thin brick or even thinner brick, and they look a little tacked on. And it happens to be that Gil is a former mason, so he does know masonry. And so he and I were able to talk about those details, but they're critical. And we don't want it to look like just somebody gave us a brick facade that kind of is plastered on. And I think he understands that. But these details at inch and a half scale, showing the sills, the heads, and the jambs of all the existing windows and how those materials are going to meet them is important. And then that's also important regarding the storefront doors and the glazing there. So we get a sense of the scale and what they look like.
And another thing is that on the plan, all of those windows are labeled as existing to remain.
Right.
And maybe the windows are in the same location, but it sounded like Gil was going to replace all of those windows with similar.
That's not what it says on the plan, that they're all existing.
Right.
And then I suggested, did he tell you differently or do you know differently?
Well, I kind of gathered from what he said that those windows will be replaced. I can't quote specifically, but that's
in the
kind of what I heard.
Planning action that Amy wrote, it says that all the windows are going to be existing and they're going to put two more in to match the existing. And they really don't meet our standards because they're internal mutton bars, which, you know, in the elevation, they look real substantial, but in reality, they're behind glass and there is no true divided lights, which is something that we'd normally say. So I would say to Amy's suggestion that the new windows match the old, that's probably okay. Or if they start changing, I mean, the ideal would be, you know, this contemporary, the windows are not great shape, especially those lower ones down where the brick veneer is going to go on. And the connection to those spaces, those details are going to be tough. And so I suggest to them, you know, if you're doing such a great contemporary front aluminum storefront windows there, why don't you just replace them all so they all match and it looks like a cohesive whole? Well, that may not be in their budget, but that's a suggestion. If it isn't that, we do want to know how the details will look.
Right. And according to the national standards, you know, you would go with a modern storefront window, right. You know, according to the way we are here in Ashland, right. Not so much. But
I mean, it would really jazz up the building if you had storefront windows and all those with right. With the mullions that they proposed. It really looks contemporary. So that would be a nice addition. But the other thing that they suggested either in the text or both the text and the plans is that stucco that we're talking about for the tower, there was an either or, and the other option was stone, natural stone or stone. And that's something in the historic district or anywhere downtown is just not present.
And so, right. It's kind of a cliche. You know, it certainly wouldn't fit.
Right. So we've been talking about stucco, but they have proposed both, either or. And I guess what we're saying is that stucco would be unacceptable because it's, you know, not compatible with either downtown commercial or.
You mean the stone wouldn't be compatible?
Right.
Yeah. The stucco would be compatible.
Stucco would be fine. And, yes. And then they actually talked about scored joints, which would be fine too. Another contemporary detail.
Yes.
Right.
Be monolithic, or it could be scored in a number of patterns.
And these are the kind of things you see in Portland all the time, like where they add on to a church or a rectory or whatever. The elements are quite modern, and I think that works here really well.
Okay, so that's, I think, enough in the record. I think we've addressed all the details that we concern. Anybody else has concern that hasn't been mentioned? And so
I hope Regan can get that all down.
You can give me a call if you need some.
You're good though.
clarification. So Maria, I don't think it's necessary to have the applicants come back. I think they can use our record for how we feel about the building. Would that be acceptable?
Well, I guess I'm trying to sort out, are you making a recommendation at this point? Are you saying you can't evaluate it and compare it to the applicable criteria with what you've been given and you need more materials to make your recommendation?
Exactly. That would be my next question.
I mean, then the only way would be to make a recommendation that they, they would need to continue and come back to the Historic Commission next month and submit the revised site plan, floor plan, and elevations that you've outlined, you know, that are scale with the, you know, matching the renderings.
Right.
Because you wouldn't have a way as a commission then to review them and make a recommendation without doing it at a public meeting.
Yeah. There's hardly anything in any of the details we could really approve without having new plans.
So I mean, I guess what I was writing everything down because I put together the recommendations, but I think kind of the essentially what I was hearing is that the commission is quite positive about the color renderings and especially about the new exterior and the front entrance, but has some concern about the disconnect between the renderings and the floor plans and elevations.
Right.
And then we
need to see it again and they need to jive.
Yeah.
And then, and then just the other, it sounded like the owner is fine without, he would prefer the entrance on the corner. And so if it sounds like planning ordinances would allow that because it's on a corner location. And so that would be our recommendation too, I think.
Well, I think as Commissioner Piper, but Piper pointed out, since it's angled, it really is more oriented. Since the front of their proposal is parallel to the sidewalk, I think it does make it more angled towards the intersection, which I think then you could say that is orienting the entrance to the intersection. I mean, the doors aren't really like 90 degrees from Fifth, right? They're more angled a bit. So,
yeah.
That's how I would look at it. And
I just want to be sure from a planning point of view that that wouldn't be an issue for planning to just have one entrance rather than the two.
No, because it doesn't say you have to have multiple doors. Okay. You know, it says either orient to the higher order street, which is East Main in this case, or to the corner.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's fine. So,
do you want a motion? Is that what you think we need, Maria?
Yeah, I don't know. Dale, you mentioned to Amy having them come back. It's probably a good idea not to get into a lot of discussion again because of time, but you know, if you want to have them come back and kind of check in about coming back to the next meeting.
Okay. So basically we're asking for a continuation and yeah, please do come back.
Revised plans.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want me to bring her back in and see?
Yeah, this point, open the public part of the hearing again, and we'll hear from the applicant.
I think it's important also to let them know that, you know, I think most of us feel pretty positive about the project as well.
Right.
Yeah, I think the rendering is magnificent. I really, you know, from a distance, it looks great. You know, and the devil in the details, I guess, is all. Okay, so we could have them back if that works. There she is.
I'm back. I haven't heard anything from Gil, but I messaged him that I'm going to ask that the record be left open. We come back for the next meeting with, okay, he just replied yes, that we come back with edited drawings. And I tried to take good notes, but if you could share your notes with me, then I will share them with the architects.
Okay. We can do that.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Amy. Okay. We'll close the public part of the hearing again and move on to another subject.
Okay. Hey, do we need to make a motion?
Do we?
For continuance, I think we do.
Make a motion that we continue, have a continuance of the project, leave the record open, mm-hmm. and look for it at our next full meeting. Anybody have
a second?
Okay, a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thanks, Regan.
Mm-hmm.
So, Historic Preservation Awards, May 20th, 12 p.m., Zoom. So, those are you have listed the four projects, and I haven't looked at all the rest of this stuff. So we have the five projects that we awarded last year, and now there's also a list of what we might have been looking at this year had we had one, huh?
Right.
Okay.
So that was just to kind of get you start to familiarize with you with the projects that have gone through.
Uh-huh.
That kind of come after the sheet of five that'll be awarded this year to kind of start to familiarizing you with that list of projects since the commission wasn't meeting because of the COVID pandemic until last September.
Okay.
As well as the hearings board not meeting. So that's more informational at this point.
Okay. So we'll address that as the COVID changes come about. So then in regards to our meeting May 20th, I guess we want to talk a little bit about how the format might go. Obviously, it's going to be on Zoom.
Yeah, I thought we sort of covered it last time. My understanding was staff would put together a slideshow of hopefully Terry is going to be able to get some photos.
Okay.
And it would be a Zoom format like this. So then the people who are getting the awards would get called in, you know, just like Amy did for the planning action. They would get called in for each award, not all at the same time, one by one. And I think you talked about letting them have a few minutes to speak.
Okay.
After they get the award.
Okay.
And just basically going through that list of five.
So in that case, normally there would be a designer, owner, and a builder.
Mm-hmm.
So all three could have words, or if they'd like.
I mean, I think that's up to the commission, but my guess is a lot of people might not choose to speak, you know? Yeah, so I would probably just leave it open if you're looking for my thoughts.
we might see those three for each individual project, and we read their story, and we could just say if you'd like to make a comment, we're open to that.
And I mean, we could ahead of time, staff can, you know, kind of give them maybe a little bit of a boundary on how long to speak, you know.
They've always been pretty short in the past. It's just, unless it's John Strumberg, who talked for a while.
Go ahead.
The other suggestion was, we've had Mayor Strumberg for the last dozen years. And so we have a new mayor now. And I think it'd probably be appropriate to invite her. And Maria and I talked about me emailing her and letting her know how we go about this, because she's probably not that familiar with it. And so would we like her to add, ideally we'd like to have her say something about the historic process, or do we give her a choice of whether she would like to do it or not?
I think she's the mayor and she probably gets to choose.
So we're offering her an opportunity if she would like to participate in our Zoom meeting. And if she did, that she would say a few words about whatever.
Yeah, I would just let her know that in the past, the mayor has been part of the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of up to her if and how much she'd like to be involved.
Right. We've had a change of administration nationally, and, you know, things have changed.
I mean, when Mayor Stromberg did it, did he talk at each award, or did he just kind of do it at the beginning?
He would always start with a little speech that went on for, you know, 2 minutes or 15 minutes, because he loved historic and then he loved to talk. And so it was always kind of entertaining. I enjoyed it. Then he and I would volley back and forth reading the text for each project.
He had a keen interest in architecture and historic. And it would be nice if the current mayor would get to know us and get involved as well.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll give her that option.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing that I've always done, it's kind of started the meeting, was introducing the historic commission members and staff. And then I would always read the proclamation that'll be read in early May about National Historic Preservation Week. And that's just an official document that doesn't really change, but it's just a little introduction. And then we also talked about maybe having Mark Knox talk a little bit more in length about, or giving him the opportunity to talk a little bit more at length if he chose to, given his long tenure here, both in from planning and building point of view.
And some history about his experience with the commission then, right?
Yeah, like we'll let him talk about anything he wants if he wants. And a few minutes.
My one question was, in the past, the descriptions that we wrote up were in a printed program. So will that now be on a slide or something like that?
Well, I don't think I think we should certainly have the building. I mean, maybe the building is on the full screen, and whoever reading the
So yeah. You really want somebody to read it? That just sounds really boring to me, but
well, in the past the blurbs have always been read.
Have they?
Yeah, in the past. So
well, they're generally short.
Yeah, they're generally short.
And I've always made those packets for the awards recipients, so I can mail those out ahead of time to them with their awards, so they can kind of see and follow along.
Or on the other hand, it might be more fitting to not give them a copy at this point. Then they'll hear it for the first time, and they'll go, "Wow, that was great."
Okay.
And it used to be before you came on board, Regan, and I appreciate what you do in terms of giving them a picture and giving them the text, but you know that they've already read the text and it feels a little redundant as one of those who read it, like everybody's reading it, everybody's got it in front of them and they, you know, they're either looking at it or, you know, and so in some ways, maybe just have a picture of their project and the person who's reading it is just in the background. They hear it for the first time. And suggestion, anybody agree or not or whatever?
Well, I just think generally very much text on one of those slideshows is lost really quickly.
Yeah.
So it's better to have them photo heavy. Just I would just do a photo and the address.
And then the slide.
Would you send the rewards then? You could send the awards beforehand so they get to see the awards and they go, whoa, this is real. Now they come to a Zoom meeting, they hear the text for the first time, then everybody will be interested in what's said, and then you could send them a copy of that.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, everybody.
Now, there is the interesting fact that Coleman Creek has two of the awards. Uh-huh. So would we have them decide who's going to talk about each of the two properties?
Well, they don't need to talk. We're going to give them that option. All three of them will be up on the screen. We'll ask them if anybody have a comment. This might be an appropriate time. And if we hear none, then we'll move forward to that.
Well, I thought for the Civic Award, who would we want to... That seems to me... Is that an unusual award to give?
No.
In some ways? No. So who do you usually hear from on those kind of projects?
Well, in this particular case, Len Einstein, or Eisenberg, is he the designer?
I don't know either.
I haven't read the Briscoe.
So Len Eisenberg is a geologist.
That's what I thought it might be the geologist who came up with the concept.
Yeah.
And I think he has other people who work on it. For him and produce it.
Regan, did you have anybody else on that? Just him alone?
Just him alone.
Okay, so that's fine. He was responsible for it, and he wants to talk about.
Okay.
I read the text, but I assume it's explanatory in terms of what went on there. And if he has any comments, that would be great.
Okay.
And then the individual award would the other option would be to maybe start out with Mark if he wanted to speak. Or we finish with him.
I think that's a good idea to start out with Mark.
Okay.
Well, so are you going to have him speak and give him the word at the same time?
Well, that's a good question.
Because if you are, if I would make the other folks wait through that in case, you know, to get the other four awards.
Well, they'll all be listening because it starts at a certain time.
You're kind of forcing, I guess what I'm saying is people to sit through a potentially long presentation that you might you might lose them.
Well, that's fine. Then they won't get their award if they want to tune back in to get it. But it seems to me that their attention would be better and I think, you know, has anybody talked to Mark about saying something?
No, but I know from personal experience, I'll have no problem.
Yeah.
So, it will not be a problem for him.
So it'll, and your concern is obviously one that he might run on. Do we want
to? Yeah, so I would give the other four awards out first and end with Mark.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's in line with the keynote speaker generally speaks last.
Yeah.
All right. He gave a wonderful speech for
Terry
Scooby.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, so we'll keep it in the basically the order that we have it. And how about the people who wrote the text? Would they all be willing to read their own text? So we have four different voices or five?
We would need somebody to take over for Tom. Because okay. Tom had the Civic Award
okay.
for Len Eisenberg. So somebody would need to read that.
Okay. So is
I'll do mine.
Okay. Is everybody open to doing theirs?
Right.
And Beverly, would you like to do the one that we did together?
Sure.
And then would somebody like to pick up Giordano's other than myself, only because I'll be already shocking, but I'm happy to do it too. Whatever. Okay, Piper? Okay, so Piper's subbing for Giordano. Okay, so is it straightforward enough? We don't need to do a dry run or anything next month, do we?
No.
Pretty straightforward. All these things are a little awkward anyway, so like.
Would it help if we kind of gave you put an outline in the packet next month?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. The sequence.
Yeah,
I think that's a good
idea. Maybe we would even send that with their award so they know what's going on that day.
Well, it could be like an agenda. Yeah, but I mean, as a next step, we'll send you a draft.
Okay.
The commission in the packet next month. So you can go, yeah, okay, this is what we talked about.
Okay. And then would that be appropriate of some other form of that to then send along with the award so they know, oh, how's this go? Well, it starts at 12 and this is what's going to happen.
We would do like a meeting agenda.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
All right, sounds good.
So send us in our packet next month, those of us that are going to speak, a copy of what we wrote.
We'll do.
Okay. And we could even practice.
What time does it start again?
It starts at 12.
Okay, so
there was one other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about in regards to Historic Preservation Week, and that's the self-guided tours at the cemetery. So we could still do those, and I can have the cemetery sexton open the cemetery Friday, May 21st.
Okay.
So then, Dale, you could announce it.
Okay.
That way you could announce it during the meeting.
Okay.
Or during the award ceremony.
We could also have that on the agenda, the other options for them. So we're not doing any other tours other than that, right?
That's the only one. I mean, I don't know if Terry is interested in doing something. I don't know. But that's
the only one. I don't think we can do. I did check into things even outside. And the administration, the city is generally still kind of holding back on those things because it's really hard to enforce, sort of social distancing mask requirements. And if you get city staff at all involved, and I'm not sure, I'd have to check on volunteers like Terry. Right. You get into OSHA requirements.
Okay. That's enough. We're done.
Yeah. So
after all, this isn't Texas.
Yeah, really.
So I guess I was getting the sense, and it's so hard to know, in a couple months where we'll be, but right. Kind of where we're at now is those things look pretty complicated to run.
Okay. All right. So you good with that, Regan? So we finished with that subject, everybody?
Yep.
Next subject is vacancies and membership. We had a brief discussion about whether it's getting hard to recruit, it seems like. If anybody has anybody in mind, we have one option is to try to do that. The other is we're one of four commissions of how many, 20?
I think 15 or 16.
So So three others have 9 members. The other ones have 7 members, maybe even less than that. So one suggestion would be we could just leave it at 7 and then we don't need to recruit anybody. Do people feel like 9 is better than 7 in any way? And the other thing it would have impact on is when we have a review board, we'd have 2 less people to schedule. So with 7 of us, we need 2 besides Terry. So, you know, we would have to double up a little bit. There would be, 8 positions roughly, which that's not terrible either. With 6 of us, 2 of us would have to do twice a month.
So the thing that reducing the size of the commission changes is the quorum required.
Oh, that's the
other. So if you have 9 people, you always have to have at least 5. If you go down to 7, it goes down to 4. So that's the kind of opposite of the hearings board piece. Yeah.
That's definitely an advantage because when you're 1 or 2 short, we've had to cancel a couple meetings. So.
But I like the
idea. Let things ride until, you know, things open up again. And just kind of leave what we have right now until, you know, we are doing review board again and meeting in person again.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of 9. And I like the idea that we have some turnover now and again because it gives us the opportunity to bring in new people with different ideas.
Yeah.
So I guess part of the reason for putting on the agenda was then you as members need to go out and recruit 2 people because you have 2 vacancies.
Okay.
Because they don't seem to be happening naturally.
I think we need to put the effort into it.
Yeah.
How about we all commit to asking 2 people?
So. I know I could ask several people who I think would be interested.
Okay, minimum 2. Everybody committed?
Yes.
And we'll reevaluate next month. Yeah, we did. And then one other thing, we have an annual city council meeting presentation on May 4th. And Maria has volunteered to kind of put something together. For anyone who would like to volunteer to do that, it would also be obviously on a Zoom city council meeting.
So that is when they read the proclamation also for Historic Preservation Week. So that's why we've always had that date, is so that we can talk, you know, have an opportunity to sort of plug the Preservation Week at the council meeting. Mm-hmm.
Wait, the council meeting in April or May?
May.
Okay.
Yeah, because the council only meets twice a month, so it would be the 4th and the 18th. And the 18th would actually be Preservation Week itself, so we always go a bit before that.
So do we have any volunteer that would like to?
That sounds like a good job for the chair.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
I would do anything in the world to avoid public speaking.
Okay.
Well, it's a new council too, so a lot of people are new.
Yeah. So they ought to be introduced to the chair, huh?
To the chair, yes. That's what I think.
Okay.
It looks like you have a helper.
Do I need a helper?
Beverly? No, Piper has a helper.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Okay. All right. We got 8 minutes. Anybody else have any other issues they'd like to talk about?
Nope.
I'll give you one quick update on what I'm on a committee with the Public Works Director and the Ashland Parks Director and myself. And staff person who picked an architectural firm Marcus and Associates to work on the design for both the Pioneer Hall and Community Center. Toward the end of this, so there was only two applicants. One was ORW and one was Marcus. And we listened to their presentations as to how they might approach the project, and we chose Marcus. And toward the end of this week, they'll be presenting their kind of preliminary cost estimates for architectural and engineering services. And so then the committee will get together and look at what their proposal is. And Pioneer, they've both been closed because of, you know, apparent structural issues. And so that's, you know, it was part of the bond issue, which failed. Where the money's coming from, I haven't not privy to that yet, but so there's a whole range of approaches. They want to make them ADA accessible. They want to improve the mechanical, you know, air conditioning, heating, and that sort of thing. And then the leaning wall of the community center has been leaning, I think, since 1985, when it was shored up with two rods that were tied at the bottom of some existing trusses. And so there's still some debate as to whether, the debate hasn't begun, but it'll begin at some point, about whether that wall really needs to be fixed or not. And so that's kind of where we're at. You know, it's been that way for 35 years. And I think people may have overreacted, but, you know, we'll see. But it's also an opportunity to straighten that wall. There's no foundation around the building. It's on piers and post and pier. So it does need some earthquake lateral support. So foundation, I think, is in order. But is it time to spend another $50,000 or $75,000 on replacing that roof? Maybe for the long haul, it's a good idea. Make it last 100 years, but maybe the fix that's there is also adequate. Just a side note, I went to Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water.
Oh, really?
Most famous, you know, residence in the world. And they have these giant cantilevers over the river. And the deck has a solid rail, stucco rail on it, about 3 feet high. And it sags. And arched 14-inch drop in about, I don't know, maybe 80 feet, something like that. And the historic architect spent $14 million, took up all the floors and put reinforcement in there, and decided we could straighten it, but maybe we ought to leave it because this is the way it is, you know. And so it makes me think, well, we have a sinking building. Is there a rationale to keep it that way? There you go.
I'm sorry, did Frank Lloyd Wright design that building?
Yeah.
And he's famous for not getting the details right? I mean, some of the structural parts.
He was a visionary, and before, you know, we had computers, and he did, everything was out there beyond anything that anybody ever did. Not all of them were successful, but it's still standing. But that kind of a arch in the floor is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. Take care.
Appreciate it.